Matthew 28, I'm reading from verse 1. It's Easter Sunday, so maybe you can stand, rise to your feet as we read God's word. Hallelujah. I'm reading from verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. Then you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings." I think there's a version that says, "Rejoice," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may take your seats. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to us about the stone is rolled away. The stone is rolled away. We have been building to this moment when we started with the Easter series. And today we come to the day when Jesus rose again from the dead. But that's before that happened, or rather maybe it had happened, but we are told kind of a by-the-side story of two ladies, two women, Mary, the original Mary, not the ones you... Anyway, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the Bible says, it says that they woke up at dawn while it was still dark. And other versions say there was also Salome and other Mary and so on. But it was the women, that much we know. These were the women that woke up early in the morning. They made their way to the tomb of Jesus Christ, as dark as it was, carrying spices and all that so that they could apply on the body, dead body of Jesus Christ. Now, as they walked towards the tomb, a conversation broke out. It's not in Matthew, but Mark tells us that there was a conversation, and that conversation was around the issue of the tombstone. Who will open the tomb for us? Who will roll away the stone? They were asking each other as though they had an answer, because these were women. The stone that was rolled was heavy, a big stone. And no one could roll that away. So they were questioning each other, saying, "Who will roll away the stone?" Before they knew it, they arrived at the tomb. Now, you must remember that these women had seen it all. These women, they were with Jesus even while he was alive, even before the day when he was crucified. They were supporting the ministry of Jesus Christ. But on this particular day, they were watching the nails being driven through his palms. They were watching him being cursed and saying all sorts of things by the soldiers and everybody else who passed by. And the Bible even says, if you look at this story, they even followed Joseph of Arimathea, who asked for the body of Jesus so that he could bury him, if you remember this story. And then they come to a place where they watched where he was laid to rest on a Friday. And then they went away. On Sunday morning, they then came to apply the spices. It is then that this question opened up, saying, "We have come with these spices, but how will we get to the body of Jesus Christ?" That was the question. That was the problem. And lo and behold, when they got there, they realized that the stone had been rolled away. And it had not only been rolled away, but there was a divine being that was sitting on the stone that was rolled away. I want you to notice that day there were two earthquakes. One earthquake came on Friday when Jesus says, is finished. The Bible says there was an earthquake and the veil which was in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and the stones, graveyards, were opened up, and saints of old rose from the dead. And they walked and they appeared to people in Jerusalem. And then the second earthquake came on a Sunday. The Bible says there was an earthquake from heaven, but the earthquake is not the one that opened the tomb. You need to understand that. The earthquake was an announcement from heaven that I'm sending a spirit being from heaven. This was an angel dispatched from heaven who came as he was coming. There was an earthquake. And then he came and rolled away the stone. It's not the earthquake, it's the angel that rolled away the stone. Question. Why was he rolling away the stone? So these two women, can you imagine what was in their hearts? Besides the issue of the stone being rolled away, these were dejected women. These were sad women, grieving the Lord that they loved so much. Why would a woman wake up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. to go to a cemetery? There must be something deeper than just wanting a walk in the middle of the night. There was something going on. These women were devoted to Jesus Christ. They loved him so much that they were prepared to journey at night or early in the morning and see their Lord Jesus and apply the spices. Their Lord was dead, and so was their hope. Their hope was gone. They had lost hope. They did not have the revelation that he's going to rise from the dead. It wasn't a lovely journey to the tombstone, to the tomb, because they had heavy hearts as they walked there. But I want you to notice something. These women, what they were going to do, modern women will not like to do that unless you are paid for it. They were going to apply spices and oils on a broken body that had wounds all over, and they were meant to apply the spices on his body. Broken body, the feet with holes, the back almost gone with the 39 lashes. The head had holes from the thick thorns. They were making their way early hours of the morning to do that. Probably they were going to be the last ones to see the body of Christ and close his eyes. What manner of love is this? Peter did not volunteer to do that. James did not volunteer to do that. John did not volunteer to do that. Two women, Mary, decided to take that opportunity, to take that responsibility. Where are you with God? How far can you go with Jesus Christ? Are you the one that welcomed him on Sunday, says, "Hallelujah, the Son of David is come"? 6 days later, like, "I don't know him. I'm no friend to one who's arrested by Roman soldiers." These two women. You then can appreciate when they are asking the question, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" You then appreciate that they were, even while they were asking, they were still marching on towards a tomb that was closed. Even when things are not working in your life, you still believe in Jesus Christ. Even when things are failing, you still believe in Jesus Christ. Even when people are letting you down, you still believe in Jesus Christ. Even when you remain alone in your family, still saying Jesus is alive, follow Jesus. Make your way to the cross. Make your way to the tombstone. Because when you go to the tomb, you will be surprised. So where are you? Have you given up marching towards Jesus Christ? Have you turned elsewhere? Like Jonah, he said, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm going to go to Tarshish. Now, let me explain. Tarshish is the very opposite direction of Nineveh. It's not southeast, south, or no. It's west and east. My friends, where are you? Have you turned away because you received some news on your text that says, oh, by the way, the stone is still closing the tomb? And then you went back home. It was rolled away. It was rolled away not so that Jesus could come out. Because the one that was closed in the tomb is the one who created the stone that closed him inside. So therefore, the stone had nothing to do with Jesus Christ coming out of the tombstone. In fact, even if they had buried him deep, 200 miles deep and sealed it, it would not make a difference because the creator of the rock has a ways of coming out of the rock in ways that you and I might not even know and understand. So the stone was rolled away for the women, not for Jesus. It was a miracle waiting for them, not for Jesus. But the miracle demands that you keep marching towards the tomb, even while the stone is on. So where are you? Are you still on that journey? The only way you will discover that the stone is rolled away is if you keep going towards a tomb that is closed. So you keep coming to church. Life is not happening yet, but you keep marching on, saying, as for me and my household, I will keep marching on until the stone is rolled away. And the manner in which it's rolled away is not rolled away by your pastor. It's not rolled away by your mother. It's not rolled away by your boss. It's rolled away by a divine being that comes down from heaven. It's not the earthquake that opened that tomb. It is an angel who arrived. Amen. Because some of us, when we hear earthquakes, we then say, my goodness, my breakthrough has come. Stop applying for the jobs because my breakthrough has come. It's only an earthquake. And there's been one before. But the rolling away of the stone has not happened before. It's a miracle designed from heaven for you. Question: what will you do for Jesus? They were walking towards a dead man who could not do anything for them while he's dead. Let me phrase it in the 21st century. What could you do if you knew you'd get nothing out of it? What could you do? Sometimes our thinking is a bit twisted because even giving to God, we give because we think, I need a massive return, Lord. You hear me, God? So we're gambling with God. If I put 100 pounds, I'll get 200 pounds on the other side. Can I ask a question? Is that what Jesus died for? It was rolled away for the women so they could see that the tomb is indeed empty. Now, because the tomb is empty, the story does not end there. It's not enough to find the stone rolled away. You need a revelation of why is the stone rolled away? Why has God given you that breakthrough? Why has God opened that door for you? Why is God doing what he's doing for you? Why has God given you that husband, that wife of yours that you've been praying and waiting for? Why? The stone has been rolled away, but why? The revelation came from the angel. You see, they were not moved by the earthquake. They needed to hear a word from heaven. And that word was delivered by an angel. So the angel then explains. The angel gives an explanation of what has happened. They didn't have time to make it up themselves. They needed to hear it from an angelic being. So the angel says, you're looking for who? For Jesus, who was crucified. It is true that he's dead. It is true that they killed him. It is true that he's not also here. He's risen. He's gone. He's alive. But so that I help your faith, come and see where they laid him. And so the angel shows them. So you see, he's not here. He's not here. Do you know what I like about these ladies? If it was me that night, do you know what I would have done? Sheffield Community Church would be located right there. Right there at the entrance. So as you enter, so you're entering the gates of heaven. It will be called Gate of Heaven Ministries. Not even SEC. That is me. You laugh at me. I wonder what you call yours. Justin, what will you call yours? Oh, my goodness. So, what I'm trying to say is that when God answers your prayers and you have this miracle that God has broken into your life, we have a tendency of building into that place. And from that moment onwards, because God gave me a job, on Sunday, I'm in that job. Because God gave me that job. So I'm staying within that job. Because somehow I'm thinking that my being there is preserving my job. But that job was not preserved from there. It did not even come from there. The source of that job is in heaven. So that's where you hear from, not from here. Your whole wiring should be wired towards the source. Is someone with me today? Your whole life should be such that men shall not live by what? By bread. But by what? By every word that comes from the mouth of God. So who are you hearing from concerning your life? These ladies heard from an angel. It says, he's not here, verse 6, he's risen. But that was not all. You see, that was not all. I want to just give you a few points, then we will close. Here's the thing about these ladies. The empty tomb means that Jesus is alive. The empty tomb means that Jesus is alive. That's what they discovered that day. There is an empty tomb, but what does an empty tomb mean to us? They discover that the empty tomb is saying to us that Jesus is not here. He is alive. Why is that important? Because our Christian faith rests on that truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, Paul says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. But Christ has been raised from the dead, and therefore we have reason to shout, Jesus is alive. He's not dead anymore. Our God is alive. If he just come from heaven, if Jesus had just showed up here on earth, that will make him a visitor. If Jesus had come as a religious teacher, that will make him on the same level as all other teachers like Muhammad, Buddha, and so on. That makes him a general person. But because he came and he died, and then he rose again from the dead, that changes everything. Because now we have hope. We sing about hope. Our hope comes from the fact that he who rose from the dead, we too shall rise like him and be like him. There is hope for us because we know Jesus rose. So we will be with him where he is. How can we be with one who's dead? That's why we sang that last song. Christians hardly think about life after this death. Christians hardly think about, have you ever meditated about how heaven looks like? I know a pastor friend of mine, long time ago, he liked Coca-Cola, Coke. He just liked drinking Coke. And then one time we're sitting outside, he said to me, while he was drinking his Coke, he began to share with me. He says, oh, you know what, Pastor Anderson? You know, I really pray that there is Coke in heaven. I said, this man says, I'm just imagining Coke just flowing nonstop in heaven. Don't be too hard on the man. At least he's thinking about heaven. So, the foundation of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know what? They started creating some stories. From verse 11, in chapter 28 in Matthew, the first theory trying to explain away the resurrection of Jesus Christ came from the Pharisees themselves. Because can you imagine? The God saw what happened, and then they ran to the Pharisees. They were given money to discount what happened, to refuse that we saw anything. So they were bought off with the God of Mammon to reject the truth. It's the saddest part of the New Testament, in my view, because here are Roman guards that saw the power of God. They witnessed the resurrection. They witnessed the power, an angelic being coming in. It says, and they fell as though dead. They saw everything. And then when they saw, they did not confess because they were afraid. I believe in church. I go to church. I even believe in Jesus Christ. When will you confess him as your Lord and Savior? When will that day come? You're just like the Roman guards. It's the saddest moment of life that you can come to the place where you can give your life to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if that day when the angel came, they said, show us Jesus. We want this Jesus. Imagine, we would have rewritten the gospel. But they decided to go for Mammon instead of Jesus Christ. It's happening today. We're busy with many things. We're busy with so many theories. That was the first theory that was sponsoring the point that Jesus' thing is a waste of time. Nothing happened. But they knew deep down that Jesus rose from the dead. It's the saddest part of the Bible. It's one of, rather. So they missed their salvation. They missed right there. Maybe you're here today. Don't miss your salvation. Amen. We can preach about many things, but as of this matter, these are the serious matters of life. The gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you can know all philosophies on this earth. You can have all the degrees you need. You can have all the knowledge and the money you need. If you don't know this, that Jesus died so that you may be free, then you need to think again. These are the matters. These are the issues. So, what is the evidence that Jesus rose from the dead? You look around, the church worldwide, over 2 billion people that are gathering every Sunday to worship God. It's growing. It's been growing for the last 2,000 years. To a Jewish mind, if you tell a Jewish man that I want you to change your worship day from Saturday to Sunday, you must be joking. In Judaism, it was built in their psyche that Jesus is worshipped on the Sabbath, on Saturday. But when resurrection happened on a Sunday, the first Jewish believers, because they were the first to believe, what did they do? They said, we will now worship the Lord, the risen Lord, on a Sunday. What made them do that? The only reason that they could switch their day of worship was because they had met Jesus Christ. They had had an encounter with the living Jesus Christ. They realized that he's no longer just Jesus, the King of the Jews. He's now Jesus, the King of the world. He's the King over your life. And he wants you to believe that. He's the resurrected King. Even our calendars. Isn't it funny that today we're in year 2024 after the death? not of Caesar or of Winston Churchill. It's after the death of who? Jesus Christ. Whether you believe it or not, whether you go to church or you don't, you still write when were you born. You write your address. You write 1972, 1960, whatever. It's A.D. It doesn't matter where you come from, whether you're from Saudi Arabia, whether you're from Japan, whether you're from Jamaica, whether you're from Swaziland, Eswatini, it will still read, you were born 19-something-something. It's what they mean is after death. Is that true in French? Do the French also follow that system? Someone help me. Mm-hmm. They should. Jesus rules. Hallelujah. Amen. There were eyewitnesses. Are you aware that people saw Jesus Christ? The first person to see Jesus Christ was a woman called Mary Magdalene, who seven demons were cast out of. She was the first person to actually see the resurrected Christ. And then there were the two disciples walking to Emmaus, wondering, are you new in Jerusalem? Yet they are talking to the resurrected Christ. And then he appeared to the 11 when they were hidden. In the upper room, he then went through the halls because the resurrected body does not need halls to limit you. You can live in North Korea and the gospel will still penetrate your heart. It does not make a difference. Jesus does not need any barrier to get to you. He appeared. There is evidence. And then there's another evidence that we use today. You know, in crime cases, if they accuse you of killing someone, the police have the burden of proving where the body is. Otherwise, there's no case. If I kill someone, or if someone kills someone, where is the body? So if Jesus died, where is the body? They couldn't find it. They searched everywhere. They said the disciples stole the body. So where did they take the body to? They couldn't find the body. And then there were non-Christians who were testifying that, no, this Jesus rose from the dead. There's a historian, a Jewish historian called Josephus. He wrote a lot extensively about the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So one of the greatest proofs we have of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is this, the Great Commission. Are you aware that all the 11 disciples, only one died a natural death? The rest died in kind of experiences I can't even explain today. Painful deaths. They were martyred for Jesus Christ. Why would a grown-up man walk around saying that man is alive only to die like he's a criminal? Peter, for example, he was crucified upside down by the Roman rulers for testifying that this Jesus you killed is alive. And I said, we'll kill you. He said, go ahead and kill me. I said, while you are killing me, I have one request. Don't kill me the way Jesus was hung on the cross. Put me upside down. What kind of man does that? These are the serious matters of belief. This Jesus we're talking about is not a joke. Amen. People have died. Women were threatened by the Roman rulers. You know, they'll put a child, newly born child, they'll put the child in the other room. And the baby will cry and cry. And they say, renounce Jesus Christ. And the woman will say, let it be. If it means the child dying, I'm not recanting my faith. Why would women make that decision if this is all a hoax? And we in the West now, we must be very careful we must be very careful in the West, because every single day we are living, we are being told that this thing is not real. There are other ways. There are other ways of living. There are other means of achieving spiritual results other than this Jesus thing you are talking about. I want to pronounce right here in Sheffield that Jesus is the way, is the truth, and is the life. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Amen. It makes no difference whether we like it or not. That is a fact. We run out of time. So, here is the thing. I want to jump on something that came as you were singing, because I've got 1 Peter 3 in my notes. So, I don't know if you saw my notes, but here's the thing. The empty tomb means that you can have a new life. So, and guess who tells us about this new life? Let me just pull a few things and then we'll close. In Matthew 28, if you look at verse 7, it says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples." This is angel talking to the two women. It says, "Go quickly and tell his disciples." What were they supposed to tell his disciples? Someone help me. Jesus is alive. Thank you. That Jesus is alive. Then verse 10. Notice what happened. Verse 10. They were running to tell the disciples, but guess who they meet in town? They meet Jesus Christ himself. Why is Jesus Christ meeting them? Well, you know, sometimes you meet an angel. Again, if you're like me, there will be an angelic ministry that will start. Okay? So two churches. One is Gate of Heaven. The other one is Angelic Ministries. So, to save them, Jesus appears to them. And notice what Jesus says. He's almost repeating what the angel said to them. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, let's read it together. "Do not be afraid. Go." What did the angel say? Let's go to verse 7. Listen to what verse 7 says. Verse 7, let's read it together. Go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. And what did they do? They quickly left. Now that he told them, now the word quickly was for them, not for the disciples, for them. Because the angel has a new word, says, go quickly. Jesus doesn't say quickly. The quick was for them, because if they were slow, they were not going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. So they quickly move out of his presence, the angelic presence, and then lo and behold, Jesus meets them. And when Jesus meets them, he repeats the same message, says, do not be afraid. But what do you want you to do? Go and tell my disciples that I'll meet them. I'll meet them. Verse 10, please. So, as you can tell, they had met Jesus because the angel said, you'll meet him. But Jesus meets them and he says, rejoice. I think there's a version that says, rejoice, if I'm reading it correctly. Or other accounts of this encounter say, rejoice. Now, why is this thing so urgent? Why? Go, go, go. In Matthew 28, go. The angel says, go. Jesus says, go. Well, it's a new life. He's saying this new life must be preached. Someone must hear about this new life. Go. You need this new life. And that's where it brings me to where Florence read from. 1 Peter 1:3-6. What is this new life? How is it connected to the resurrection? Now, she stopped at verse 3, but I'll go on to verse 4 and 5. It says, Then Jesus said to them, do not, I'm in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So this is Peter. Of all people, Peter will understand this. He says that there is now this new birth. New birth talking about new life. But this new life comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot have a new life outside of Jesus Christ. As far as Peter is concerned, as far as the gospel is concerned, if you were told that you have new life through anything else other than an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ, you were lied to. Peter tells us that this new life will introduce us to a living hope. Jesus, when he was talking about this new life, says, you must be born again. What is a church? A church is an assembly of born again sinners. Born again means that I'm a new person. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Now that I am in Christ. Now, I can't insist on continuing with my old lifestyle when I have met with Jesus Christ. I can't challenge Jesus Christ on maintaining my old lifestyle when I've come to Christ. That's the new life he's talking about. That's the new birth. So new birth affects my life, impacts on my life, and changes my destiny. I'm not living under the law. I'm living under grace. The empty way of life is gone. I now live with hope. No matter how much they threaten me that the world will come to an end tomorrow, there are wars everywhere. We don't know what's going to happen to England. We hear about this and that. Do you know what? We have hope. We are people with hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ because he rose from the dead. So don't be moved. Don't be shaken. Don't be afraid. So Jesus repeats the same. He says, don't be afraid. I am alive. Everything is going to be okay. It's a living hope. A hope that does not disappoint us nor die. It's a hope that all Christians should have. And then he talks about how, see, an empty tomb means that there is hope. There is emptiness. Let me finish with this. The journey to the tomb was a painful one. It was a journey of emptiness, a journey of lost hope, a journey of disappointment, a journey of dejection, a journey of pain, a journey of grief. They'd seen a lot. They'd experienced a lot. They could have given up. They'd seen so much. The last 24 hours of Jesus Christ were grueling. Painful time. But you know what? The journey from the tomb was different. They left the tomb with joy, the Bible says. And the word joy there is enthusiasm, talking about passion and zeal to do something about what you have experienced. They left the tomb with a revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. They left the tomb with a testimony that we had met with Jesus. They left the tomb with hope. They now knew that Jesus is alive. What shall we be afraid of? Jesus is alive. We shall say no to the spirit of fear, but now we shall walk in the spirit of power, in the spirit of love, in the spirit of a sound mind. We have not lost our minds. As they were marching to the empty tomb, I believe they're probably thinking, have we lost our minds? Even marching to a tomb in the early hours of the morning, have we gone mad? Is something right up here? Yes, everything is fine because you've been given a sound mind. So where are you today? You can have this new life today. You can have it. If you choose to today, unlike the Roman guards, you can choose to say, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? Today I come to you. I want to be like you. Would you help me? Have mercy upon me. The tomb is still empty even up to today because Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Jesus wants to come into your heart. That's where the thing is today. Maybe you need hope today. Maybe life has beaten you so hard, you're beginning to doubt some of the foundational truths that you were raised in. Words have been spoken over your life that you will be healed, that Jesus is our healer. But because you have been with this sickness for long, it's almost like your life is okay with that sickness. You have begun to accept and adjust. What do they say in this century? They say, tolerate it. Make adjustments and accept what it is. Well, I've come to give you hope today that it's not normal for Jesus to pass you by when you're crying out for him. It's not normal. According to scripture, even a blind man, when he cried out and said, Son of David, have mercy upon me, he broke a parade. Jesus stopped in the middle of a crusade and turned to this one man who was blind. Will you stop him today? Will you stop him today? You see, the devotion and the love of those women as they were going to tell the disciples was so hot that Jesus had to show up for them. Oh my goodness. They intercepted. Wow. You could be an interceptor today. Shall we pray? I want you to talk to Jesus right now. I don't know.